Somebody say better together. This summer we've been focusing on the fact that God created us to do life with each other. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him today, I'm so glad I get to do life with you. Come on, now you just rejected your other neighbor. You better come up with something on your own to make them feel extra good. Better together. You weren't created to do life alone. We realize by now this summer that our relationships are the most important thing in our life. Relationships are what lasts forever. When you take this entire book and boil it down to one word, it's all about relationship with God. And when we have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, then it affects the way we have a relationship with those around us. Strong people have strong relationships. Dysfunctional people typically have dysfunctional relationships. And so we are better together. Life is better together. It's a fact we must embrace. And begin to align our lives with what God's word says when it comes to the area of relationships. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus himself said that when two of us come together in his name, that he'd be there in the midst of us. That means when we get together to worship God, things are better. I don't know about you, but I love coming together on Sundays. How many of you love coming to Victory Church today? Amen. Somebody came in and sent me a message the other day, and they don't come to church here. They had come to visit during the week, and they said they could just feel the presence of God in this place. I believe this is holy ground. Why? Because we come together to worship the Lord here. But Jesus went on and he said, when two of you agree on anything that you ask on earth and ask me for it, it would be done by our Father in heaven. So we see then that not only is worship better when we come together, but prayer is more powerful when we come together. And today I want to add something to this, and it's Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. And it says this, if you have a Bible, let's go there today. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. If you have your phone and you're looking it up on your app, it's Victory Now. Thanks so much for using that. Don't forget that you can give by way of the app now, Victory Now. Safe, secure, simple. It's easy. I know many, many, many of you are taking advantage of it. And so I want to encourage you to continue using that. Psalm 34, 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, I pray that we would leave here anything but the same as we walked in today. Transform us today. Lord, I pray that we would decrease and you would increase. Give us a revelation of praise today. God, open our eyes. Let your word illuminate our hearts. Show us the things that are not of you and remove those surgically, God, today by the precision of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that you'd make a deposit in us that would empower us to live this life to the fullest for your glory. And we give you thanks and praise for every person that's been born again today. I thank you for those three individuals who called on your name. We celebrate with them today and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His what? Praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. That's what praise is all about. It's bragging on God. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. And then it says, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. David is sending out an invitation for others to come and magnify the Lord with him. And let us, somebody say us. Well, it takes two to have an us, right? Me, myself, and I does not equal us. It takes two to have an us. Let us do what? Let us exalt his name together. I want to read that again, starting in verse 1. And I want us all to read it at the same time. One, two, three, read. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let's read verse 3 one more time real loud. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Today, we're going to talk about getting your praise on. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm about to get my praise on. You better watch out. You better watch out because it's going to get on you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, therefore, by him or by Jesus, let us continually, that means all the time, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Praise is a sacrifice. Marcia said it so well today. Sometimes you feel like you just don't have anything in the tank. Sometimes you feel like I don't have a reason to praise God. But she gave us some wonderful reasons why we always can praise the Lord. And praise is a sacrifice because it costs you. Sometimes it's easy to praise God when life is going good. But sometimes when all hell's breaking loose, it's in those moments that we're challenged. Can I praise God then? Jonah was in the belly of the whale in the middle of the stinking fish. And the Bible says that when he began to praise God and give him thanks, that's when the fish got indigestion. Come on, if you're feeling devoured right now, you want to give the devil indigestion? Start praising God in the belly of your situation. When life stinks and it's dark and it's nasty and you don't know how you... Just begin to lift your hands and praise God and give him thanks. The devil's going to throw you back. He can't handle a believer like that. It says, therefore, let us continually... That's all the time. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. My lips bear fruit. My lips can bear fruit. You got to realize today, you were created to praise. This is a part of who we are. Somebody say, I am created to praise. Now, Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with the Father again. Wonderful. Salvation is not the end, it's the beginning. He saved you from something, but he saved you for something. So this is one of the greatest things I'm saved for. I'm saved to live a life of praise. So that when I receive from God his grace, his mercy, his salvation, what Jesus did for me at the cross, in return I live a life that honors him, lifts him up, glorifies him. I'm always thanking him that everything good in my life came from him. I'm acknowledging him and saying, Father, I'm living a borrowed life on borrowed time, and I'm loving every second of it. Doesn't mean all my problems go away instantly. And all the people who just got saved in the last 6 months said amen. You still have some struggles, but praise gives me the ability to refocus. See, when we sing at the beginning of service, there's something extremely intentional about it. We're not just warming you up. We're not just priming the pump. There's something that's happening in the atmosphere spiritually when we begin to give God thanks and praise that is so powerful. In the Old Testament, God commanded the Israelites, when they were facing an army that was exponentially greater than them and there was no hope for them to win the victory, he sends them out and he has them worship. He doesn't send the Navy SEALs out front. He doesn't send the Army Rangers out front. He doesn't send the SWAT team out front. What does he send out front? He sends the praise and worshipers out front. Why? Because there's power in your praise. And as they begin to declare, for the Lord is good, the Lord is good, the Lord is good, and his mercy, his love, it never, ever, ever fails. That's all they would say over and over and over. And the more they said it, the more they believed it. And the more they said it, the more they meant it. And the more they said it, the more it began to resonate. And all of a sudden, God begins to praise and worship and dance over that situation. And the enemy is destroyed. There is power in your praise today, church. I'm not just singing a little song to Jesus to feel good about myself. I'm actually doing something. First Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. Somebody say, I'm chosen. That feels pretty good, doesn't it? A royal priesthood. Somebody say, I'm royalty. I'm royalty. Now don't get a royalty complex. Priesthood. Say, I'm a priest. The Bible says you're a priest unto God. A holy nation. Somebody say, I'm holy. His own special people. Somebody say, I'm special. Here's why. That you may proclaim the praises, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his light. Praise is your purpose. I can praise my way into purpose. If you're floundering in life right now and you don't know what direction to go, why don't you start praising God? Why don't you tap into the purpose he's given every one of us? And as you do what's written, he'll show you what needs to be revealed. As you begin to minister unto the Lord, he's going to speak to you and give you direction. Can I tell you today that God planted Victory Church in this region to praise him? God planted Victory Church in this region to lift him up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. We started with 22 people 12 years ago at 180 Center Street in that little white country church. And look around you today at first service at 9 o'clock. What God is doing among us. 63 people baptized last Sunday alone. I thank God. And three more of you came into the kingdom. Welcome to the family of God. Why? Because God created us to praise. The only thing the news reports on is plane crashes. They don't tell you about the millions of flights that went good. Come on, we need to live counterculture to that. We're to be a people of praise. And I promise you, if you'll have praise on your lips for God and for man, then people will be attracted to you. People just need somebody to breathe life into them. God loves variety. Just look around this morning. I get to see all your beautiful faces. Let me see your teeth today. But all the colors in the room, God loves variety. You look around nature, you see the variety. And every denomination in Christianity is represented here today. You've come from all kind of different backgrounds. And our praise is colored so many times by the traditions and the trappings that we've been brought up in. Many times in whatever denomination we came out of. But the reality is, there's only one thing that matters in our walk with Christ is what I believe and is what I practice biblical. Don't take me at my word, take God at His. Your Bible's going home with you, I'm not. God's word will never fail, mine may. Amen? And so we got to go to God's word. And the reality is, I know in the South there are certain denominations, man, they don't want any instruments at all. No instruments. They avoid them like the plague. Only instrument you need is your voice. And there's other places where you can have instruments, but no drums, because that rhythm is of the devil, Ron. We wouldn't want anybody gyrating out in the pews. Then you got other denominations that they might put something different on it. We'll praise God, but we don't want any clapping of the hands. And that's going a little bit too far. But the reality is, this book talks about praising God with song, praising God with instruments. Dylan, skinning it on your guitar. The Bible talks about praising God with a dance, even for the white people. Come on, I've danced in front of y'all. I'm waiting for you to dance in front of me. David danced all the way down to his BVDs. Now you can keep your clothes on. Right? The Bible says praise God with a shout. That's why we're into shouting at Victory Church. Heaven's going to be loud, y'all. There's earplugs out there if you can't handle it in here. We love you. I promise you, Chris keeps the decibel level just fine. I make sure it's a cool, comfortable 92 decibels. We won't hurt anybody, but come on, you got to get your praise on, because you don't get out any more than you put in. If you don't put nothing in, what are you going to get back? The Bible says draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. People walk out and say, well, I didn't get anything out of church today. Well, what did you put in it? You come ready to give something, I promise you're never going to leave empty-handed. Just like we talked about in this series, man, people say, I don't have no friends. Well, if you stop coming to get a friend and start coming to be a friend, I promise you, you'll never be friendless. The Bible says he who wants friends must show himself friendly. It's the same with our praise and worship. And so every denomination seems to have its kind of own way to change a light bulb, so to speak. Let me show you what I'm talking about. For a Presbyterian, they change a light bulb like this. The answer is we don't change them at all. Lights go on and off at predestined times. If you're Roman Catholic, they don't change light bulbs either. Candles only. If you're Baptist, it's at least 15 people to change one light bulb. One to change the light bulb, three committees to approve the change and decide who brings the potato salad and fried chicken. If you're Episcopalian, it takes three of you. One to call the electrician, one to mix the drinks, and one to talk about how much better the old one was. If you're a Mormon, it takes one to change the bulb and four wives to tell him how. If you're a Unitarian, well, we choose not to make a statement either in favor or against the need for a light bulb. However, if your own journey, you have found that light bulbs work for you, you're invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your light bulb for the next Sunday service, in which we'll explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid past illuminescence. If you're a Methodist, it's undetermined, because whether your light is bright, dull, or completely out, you're loved. You can be a light bulb, a turnip bulb, or a tulip bulb. Bring a bulb of your choice to Sunday's lighting service and a covered dish to pass. If you're a Nazarene, it takes six. One woman to replace the bulb while five men review church lighting policy. If you're a Lutheran, it's none. Lutherans don't believe in change. If you're Amish, we got some Amish working on our house right now. If you're Amish, what's a light bulb? If you're a Pentecostal, it takes absolutely 10. One to change the bulb, 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness. And if you're charismatic, it only takes 1 because you already got both hands in the air. Come on, give God praise. The Bible says in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Marcia exhorts us with this all the time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How many of you are breathing today? Oh, praise God. For those of you who don't have your hands up, I'm happy to lay hands on you at the end of service. The Bible says we can raise the dead. How many of you have breath in your lungs today? Oh, praise God. Healing's taking place already. Now, here's the reality, y'all. My breath belongs to Him. Jesus' blood bought my breath. Hallelujah. He is the breath in my lungs. He is the blood in my veins. In Him I live and move and have my being. So the greatest privilege we have, church, is to open our mouths and begin to offer Him up the gift that comes from a heart that He's cleansed, that He's made brand new, as I say, Father, thank You so much for saving me. Thank You that I'm not who I used to be. Thank You that old things have passed away and all things are become brand new. I thank You, God, today for who You are and who I am. Now watch this. Life gets heavy. Am I telling the truth? Life can be heavy. Matter of fact, it can be crushing at times. But praise has the power to break the spirit of heaviness off your life. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness or the spirit of despair. Heaviness is a spirit, and we've got to recognize that. That when it comes on your life and you start feeling doom and gloom and dark cloud and you start feeling overwhelmed and you start feeling like you're living in a hole and your rut has no more light at the end of the tunnel and you're never going to get out. Tomorrow's not going to be better than today. You got to recognize that's a spirit trying to lay like a blanket on your life. But you got to let the greater spirit on the inside of you rise up and remember what Jesus said, that whatever you bind on earth, I'm going to bind in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to loose in heaven. And so you got to say, I bind that spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke it and I command you to flee from me and I release the joy and peace and love and the light of God into my heart and life right now. I command the skies to open over my day today. I command there to be an unbroken chain of fellowship as the angels of God are coming down to minister for me, a child of the covenant, bought and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, devil, I trample on you. You're under my feet. I'm seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All authority has been given to me by Jesus Himself, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Get out of here in Jesus' name. The Bible says He's got to flee. He's got to run from you. You're not just going to magically wake up one day happy. Yet most of us are still waiting for that happy day to come. But it doesn't work that way. Let me say too that the universe is not in charge. The sign of your zodiac is not in charge. Heaviness is not the will of God for your life. You aren't suffering for Jesus when you're going through that. Your DNA doesn't have to be in charge either. Let me tell you, there's some things about my DNA that are just predisposed towards depression. If I went to the doctor's office and filled out the chart, I would qualify for lots of fun drugs. Marcia said, yes, he would. But I choose not to allow those things to define my life, because the greatest defining factor in my life is Jesus Christ. And He said, I'm more than a conqueror. And so we can live in authority over those things, but it's not accidental. It's something we have to be intentional about. You've got to recognize you're a new person with a new heart and a new nature and a new identity. You've been born again. You've been recreated in the image of Jesus Himself. And Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above His companions, the Bible says. That means Jesus was the happiest guy to ever walk the face of the planet. We think He was always sad and solemn and serious. No, Jesus was fun. That's why people were attracted to Him. How many of you have met somebody who's doom and gloom that have massive crowds following Him? No. They want somebody who's full of life. That's what Jesus is. You have that anointing of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit. He says, praise is like clothes. What do clothes do? They provide a covering. We have to put them on. We have to be intentional about it. You know, you're not George Jetson. You didn't jump on a conveyor belt this morning and roll through and get your teeth brushed and your clothes picked out for you and put on. You had to choose to go put it on. You got to choose to be a person of praise. You got to choose to give God thanks. You got to choose to set your mind on Him. David said it like this. He was the best. You know, David went through tremendous trials. As you read about his life, you almost think he was bipolar. And you see him swing from one end to the other. But David was the best about keeping his mind and his heart under control. And he said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said in Psalm 145:2, every day I will bless you and I will praise you and your name forevermore. Praising God has nothing to do with how I feel and everything to do with who He is. How I feel changes. Who He is never does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I promise you, how you feel can change. You've got to put on the garment of praise. Somebody say, get your praise on. Reality is you're naked without it. Praise gives you the power to take control of yourself today, not tomorrow. It's critical that we make changes today. Small steps today, small changes today lead to phenomenal results tomorrow. You gotta start small, but you gotta start today. And praise gives me the power to take control of myself right now. How many of you are ready to just stop riding the emotional roller coaster every day of up and down and in and out and happy and sad? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just wave at me if that resonates with anybody today. All across this room, I mean, I meet people all the time. They're victims of their thoughts. They're victims of their emotions. And what blows me away is how many don't realize that you have the power to control those things. They don't have to control you. Most of us allow our emotions to dictate our days. When we get up immediately, our body is talking to us. Our mind is talking to us and it's racing and our emotions start speaking to us and we listen to what they say and then we base the kind of day we're going to have off of that. 99% of the time, if you let what's going on the inside tell you, you're going to be sad, blue, depressed, whiny, complaining, critical, unforgiving, overwhelmed, cranky, miserable, feel lost, might as well just pull the covers back over your head and call it a day. Right? That's why you wake up feeling like the course of your day has already been determined. We've become enslaved to the emotional demands of our own souls. But the good news, y'all, is God has given you self-control. He's given you the control of yourself. He's given you power over your mind. He's given you power over your emotions. And it's time to start using it. Self-control is in you right now. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Galatians 5:23. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Somebody say, I can control myself. Come on, the first step in taking control is believing that you have the power to do it. Start believing you're in control. David said in Psalm 103:1, Marcia read it today, bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul's my mind, it's my will, it's my emotions. David's talking to himself before he talks to God. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up. He was taking control of his mind. He was taking control of his emotions. He was saying, David, you're going to praise the Lord and you're going to like it. And you know what? In the beginning, as you begin to do that, you're going to feel like it's a chore. But I promise you, about 60 seconds in, you're going to have a breakthrough. And all of a sudden, something's going to be released. And you're going to feel the heaviness fall off. And it's going to begin flowing out of your mouth. And there's going to be a joy released on the inside of you. Let me tell you today, your mind is a wild animal. And it will drag you off into the weeds and devour your life. You got to keep it caged. You got to keep it directed. You got to tell it what to think about, because if you don't control it, it's going to control you. And every emotion you feel came with a thought before it. Emotions follow thoughts. If I control my mind, guess what else changes? My emotions. And I begin emoting the goodness of God. And it begins to change the environment around me. David would say, self, here's how you're going to feel today. One thing I do every single day, not a day that goes by that I miss doing it, is I get up and I begin with Psalm 118:24. Father, this is the day you have made. This is the day you have made. You only make good things. This is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be glad in this day. This is your day, God. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. 1 John 4:4, greater are you in me than anything I'm facing today around me. I thank you that you've given me your peace and it won't be taken away. I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. I thank you that I'm walking in your will that is good and pleasing and perfect. I thank you, Lord, that you are great and greatly to be praised. I will bless you, Lord, at all times, and your praise will continually be in my mouth. I give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. I bless you, Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I thank you, Father, today that you are loading my life with blessings. I thank you, Jesus, for the example you set. I thank you, Father, for the gift you gave. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who is comforting and counseling and guiding me and teaching me things that are coming in my life. I thank you, God, that you have prepared things for me beyond what I could even imagine, above and beyond all I could ask or even begin to think. I thank you, Father, today that you're a big God and you have a big dream in me. I thank you, God, that you've given me a good heart, and out of the good treasure of a good man's heart comes forth good things. And so today, Father, I speak the vision you put in my heart. I speak the dream you put in my heart. I speak the victory you put in my heart. I thank you there's power in the blood. I thank you that your word never fails. I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. I thank you that when I run out of English, I can begin to declare it in that heavenly language in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, you do that, you're not going to have a bad day. There's power in your praise. I tell myself, that's the ultimate attitude adjustment. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. When I get up in the morning and I start my day with praise, I'm setting the tone. I'm fixing my focus on Jesus. Not to mention when I praise, I can't stay focused on me because it's all about him. We got this woe is me thing that comes so naturally. I do it. Don't I, baby? You gotta control your mind. Focus on what you can do, not what you can't. Focus on what you do have, not what you don't. Focus on where you're headed, not where you've been. Focus on how far you've come and not on how far you got to go. Based on those things, do y'all have something to thank God for this morning? Start projecting and prophesying who he is into my day. Over my situation, over my marriage, over my kids, over my idiot neighbor that I'm sick and tired of dealing with, over that lazy person at work that you have to pick up the slack for the work they're not doing. It's causing issues between you. I begin to praise over that situation. I begin to praise him for who he is. He's wonderful. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the lover of my soul. He's a mighty warrior. And when I praise him, I'm changing the atmosphere of my surroundings. I'm not like a thermometer anymore. I become a thermostat. I'm not just saying what's going on. I'm saying not what is, but I'm declaring what can be. I'm determining my environment at that point, and I'm influencing it for the glory of God. My praise defeats the attacks of the enemy. My praise has the power to pierce the darkness. My praise has the power to bring God's word into my life. My praise has the power to open doors. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Newton's third law of motion says this: what goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, but you are holy, enthroned. Somebody say enthroned. You're enthroned in the what? Praises of Israel. You're enthroned by praise. The presence of God, think about this. It's talking about his lordship and kingdom. The presence of God's kingdom and his reign is established where his praise is practiced. Jesus said it like this. He said, I want you to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Okay. Is there depression in heaven? Is there lack in heaven? Is there defeat in heaven? You smelling what I'm stepping in right now? You picking up what I'm putting down? So if we're praying that what's going on up there come to pass down here, then that means his presence has the power to eliminate all those things, because in his presence there is fullness of joy. So praise invites his authority. Wherever God's people exalt his name, he's ready to show up. Wherever God's people praise him, we send out an invitation for him to come and invade our present situation. Wherever and whenever God's people praise him, he will display his power. Praise prepares a place and a time for God to come and meet with his people. Our worship, as Marcia said, is the welcome mat. And when we begin to worship him, it invites his activity. Praise is the entry point for kingdom come. The power is his, but the privilege of preparing a place for him is ours. I'm not just singing, I'm praising for a purpose. I'm lifting Jesus higher so that other people, including me, can experience what it's like to be in the presence of God. That's why it feels like when you walk in this room, it's a little piece of heaven on earth. That's why when you come in here, you feel God. Because we're praising him, and as we lift him up, his presence comes down like precipitation. Had a hard time getting that one out. Precipitation. Rain. Somebody say rain on us. Come on, let's make it personal. Rain on me. It's time, church, to tap into the power of your praise. Jesus still deserves your praise. No matter what you're going through, you say, Josh, that's just not me. That's not me. No, wait. Back up. You got breath in your lungs? That is you. That's what the Bible says. He already bought it. He already paid for it at the cross. It's his breath in your lungs today. He's still a good God when you're having a bad day. He's worthy when I'm up, and he's worthy of my praise when I'm down. He's worthy when things are good, and he's worthy when things are bad. He's worthy when I'm laying in the hospital bed, and he's worthy when I'm laying on the recliner at the beach. He's worthy whenever there's plenty, and he's worthy when my pantry's empty. He's worthy when I'm happy, and he's worthy when I'm sad. He's worthy when I'm weak, and he's worthy when I'm strong. He's worthy on my mountaintop, and he's still worthy at the bottom of the valley, because he doesn't change even when my life does. Come on, praise him. 10 seconds. Go. Five, 4, 3, 2, 1. So here's what we're going to do. We believe you got to live what you learn. That's the only way to experience God. This ain't a book club. We didn't come here to just read and talk about a book. We came here to be changed. Amen. We believe faith without works is dead. We believe that we're not satisfied to just hear it. We got to do it. Anybody in the room like that today? We got to do it. All right. So here it is. It's time to put our money where our mouth is. It's time to get your praise on. I just wonder if there's anybody in the room that would take 5 minutes. It's 10:11 if you need to know what time it is, or taking medicine, or you got a rump roast in the oven at home. If you would take 5 minutes to just flat out give God your best praise. 5 minutes to sing to him, to praise him. If you want to clap, clap. If you want to shout, shout. If you want to sing, sing. If you want to dance, dance. If you want to run, run. Ushers, watch the aisles. Make sure we can't have no head-on collisions, because then we got to lay hands on them. Let's just express to God our worship and praise. 5 minutes. Y'all got 5 minutes? You got 5 minutes? You got 5 minutes? Okay, so nobody's here against their will. You're here because you want to be. All right? You ready? You ready? You ready? Let's do it.
Come on, let's get those hands together.
I feel it breaking. I feel a lift right now. I don't know about y'all, but I can feel that lifting right off. That heaviness, you just set the tone for a new week. That's simple. 5 minutes. You can do that on your own every day. 5 minutes. I don't even know if it took that long. A new attitude, a new outlook. Come on, a new elevation. I'm seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Victory Church, it's time to look at life different. It's time to stop living like everybody else. It's time to do counterculture. It's time to lift Jesus high. Oh, Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for what you've done among us today. I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, remind us every day for the privilege and the opportunity and the responsibility to praise you just by opening our mouths and bragging on you for everything great you've done for us, for what we know of you, to acknowledge and to speak out the wonderful things about who you are. Father, we thank you that you're a good God. We just declare that today. And we declare your goodness over the people of this church. And Father, we thank you today as we go out of here for your love, for your life, and for your light that fills and floods us and is going to touch those around us. Father, we thank you today that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we cancel every attack of the enemy that's formed against us. We thank you, Lord, for victory in Jesus. And God, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, we're going to leave with a shout of hallelujah on three. One, two, three. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week.